Oh yeah, it's Life on the Outside. This is the Harry Thomas Show. We are fighting global government. We are fighting corruption. And we can be located at harrythomas.podomatic.com. You can find me on YouTube at the channel Harry Thomas Info. And also news stories updated daily at twitter.com/Harry Thomas. Now, the last show I did was a huge rant. I'm going to cover a lot of stuff today. Where I'm going to talk about Pentagon fraud, corruption. I'm going to talk about the radiation dangers that from the Japan nuclear accident. I'm going to talk about how the Bin Laden fable is a contrived hoax. We're going to talk about Ron Paul and his bid. We're going to talk about Big Brother in your mobile phone and all kinds of other propaganda that is coming out as an attack against us and the truth. You know, and I want to send a shout out to my friends over at the 12160 network. That's an alternative news network, social network, in fact. Fighting the New World Order. There's a lot of good people who are just regular guys over there. You could find them by doing a Google search for 12160, or you can find them, or you can just type in snardfarker.ning.com. They're over on the Ning network, and I forgot to talk plug them guys last time. I mean, you can find me over there. I post the show over there. I get a lot of support from that show, and I put these news articles that I'm going to be talking about up on Twitter, and a lot more. I can't even cover everything. And, you know, I put them out there because there's like over 500 people following me over there to get these updates. And then them people can send them out to their people. And that's how we get this information out. You know, the real news. Because I get my news from alternative sources. And sometimes I'll sit there and I'll be getting the news from alternative sources. And then I'll turn on mainstream media and it'll be like entering a whole new world. It'll be like, wow. They're not even talking about any of these things that just seem to be very, very important and should be like top of the list on mainstream news coverage. And they're not. You know, and I'm going to talk about some of that stuff today. I think it's very important to counter this propaganda that we're getting out of mainstream media that is their source is the government. That is their source. You know, their source is world government. They believe in that stuff. And I don't. I don't believe in a one world government. I believe in sovereignty. I believe in our Constitution. And I think that we should take them things serious. People that shed their blood to give us this Constitution and these laws in this country. I'm talking about the United States. To keep us free. And to keep us free from tyrants and tyrannical governments. And what I see going on is a push for a one world government, a new world order, people like to talk about. And these invisible entities that have power that hide in the shadows, in the curtains. And, you know, we're talking about some people call them the Illuminati, the elite, the globalists. There's a lot of different names for them. But the bottom line is they are creating a reality that is killing people, and it goes really deep, you know. And that's what I'm saying. If you're getting your news just straight from the mainstream media, you know, it's very uninformed. It's very contrived, and there's an agenda there, you know, to control our minds. And that's why it seems so odd to me, because I'm living life on the outside. I'm living life outside of the box. You know, I'm thinking for myself, and that's something that they don't want. They don't want people to think for themselves. Now, this came out. This is an older story, but this come out. I seen it over there at the 12160 network, and you know, and Google that. You know, check that out. Join us in the fight against the New World Order. And it says here, Pentagon reports billions of dollars in contract fraud. You know, this one came out of AOL, but there's another story that this is going to lead to that came out of 12160. And I'm going to point out the fraud in this. I'm going to point out the fraud in this. The Pentagon paid hundreds of billions of dollars to defense contractors engaged in criminal or civil fraud, in some cases paying the companies after they were convicted. According to a new Defense Department report, at least 91 contractors holding contracts worth $270 billion were the subject of civil fraud judgments, and in some cases, criminal fraud convictions as well, many of which resulted in fines, suspensions, and debarments. Even so, Defense Department contracting officers still assigned $4.9 billion worth of work with these companies after the fraud was uncovered. Why would this be happening? You know, and these contractors identified in the report include Boeing, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Pratt & Whitney, IBM, and even the Yale Medical School. So why are these people getting billions and billions of dollars worth of contracts after they've been engaged in criminal activity and civil fraud? Well, the answer to that might be found in this other story that I found. It was talking about 5,200 or so employees or defense contractors involved in child pornography. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this.
But Senator Grassley says he is still not getting the cooperation he needs from this Pentagon. I spoke to him earlier. Senator Grassley, you were told that 5,200 Defense Department employees had allegedly purchased child porn, and yet you're saying only 3,500 of those names were cross-checked by a defense investigator to see if they were really DOD personnel. That's mind-boggling. Why weren't all of them cross-checked?
Well, we don't have an answer to that question, but it's quite obvious that the other 1,700 should be cross-checked. And that's one of the answers to my questions that I want answered. And the implication of our questions is they ought to be cross-checked. We ought to find out, because we're talking about not just general pornography here. We're talking about child pornography. And child pornography, taking that down, is a crime. And also, it's there's an added factor here, considering the fact that there's a lot of secured information, national security information, that the world shouldn't know, that a lot of times foreign operatives will use this sort of criminal activity to blackmail, to get information. So there's a lot of things here that are involved because it's a Defense Department issue as opposed to any other department of government.
Right. I mean, sir, I mean, if your numbers are correct, 1,700 people out there who allegedly purchased child porn, we don't know if they were ever cross-checked or investigated, right?
That's true, and there's been some other names in the hundreds where there's the names have actually been given out that we don't know what's going to be done about them. Now, there's some reason to believe that it's a criminal act. It's been so far since it's happened that they could be stale. Maybe you can't have criminal prosecution, but we would be looking at administrative action to be taken against these people. And I want to know who they are and what administrative action's being taken.
Yeah, because I mean, what's even more startling is that of the 302 people confirmed as DOD personnel or contractors, only 70 of them were actually investigated. I mean, how is it possible that all of them weren't investigated?
Well, here's, I think, the thing that overrides everything you just asked, and that is we ask criminal investigators in the Division of Defense that does that, the extent to which supervisors of these people knew that this was going, and the criminal investigators couldn't even answer that question for us when we had a briefing from them.
So wait a minute, so you're saying we don't even know if the supervisors of these people were told that their you know, employees may have downloaded child porn?
That's the question that my staff ask of the criminal investigators, and they could not answer the question whether or not supervisors had been informed of this. And if supervisors don't know about it, you know, it's a bad environment that things like this can happen in the first place, and worse, that it's a criminal act when things are downloaded.
Until you started raising this issue, I mean, this investigation was closed by the Defense Department. They only investigated for about 8 months. Do you think the Pentagon just didn't take this seriously?
Well, it's quite obvious that they didn't take it seriously, because it wasn't only that I was asking the questions. It wasn't until it started getting questions from people like you who are journalists that this got their attention and we got any consideration and reopening of this in the first place.
One of your staffers told us that getting information from the Defense Department on this has been like pulling teeth. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah. Oh, I've been involved in oversight of the Defense Department for almost all the years I've been in the United States Senate. And it's very difficult to get answers from a lot of bureaucracies, but it's quite more difficult in the Defense Department.
Senator Grassley, I appreciate your time. We'll continue to follow this. Thank you.
Now, see, you can't get information from the Department of Defense. It's a very secretive operation, you know, and very, very corrupt. You know, the CIA is working hand in hand, and we're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, making a lot of these backroom policy ideas, you know, and their idea is to destroy American sovereignty and get us involved in a world government. You know, we're taking our marching orders from a world government. I mean, listen to what he said about being blackmailed. Now, this might be the reason for why these contractors are getting billions of dollars after they've been engaged in criminal activity. Listen to this.
And also, there's an added factor here, considering the fact that there's a lot of secured information, national security information, that the world shouldn't know, that a lot of times foreign operatives will use this sort of criminal activity to blackmail to get information. So there's a lot of things here that are involved because it's a Defense Department issue as opposed to any other department of government.
You see what I mean? They use these things to blackmail. That's how the elite get by with all this stuff. That's how they get by. And it's just totally, totally incredible. Totally incredible. And a lot of these globalists and these global elite are caught up in this sex rings and all this fraud. If they come out, if they don't do the bidding of the New World Order, they'll be taken down. They'll be exposed for who they really are. Now, I want to talk about Ron Paul. He's running for president again in 2012. And if you don't know who Ron Paul is, he's a congressman from Texas. He's been one of the most honest politicians I've ever seen in my life. He strictly abides by the Constitution. He runs as a Republican, but he's more of a libertarian as far as his views are very libertarian. In fact, in 89 or 88, 88, I believe, he ran as a Libertarian Party for president. And then he ran again in 2008 as a Republican. And he wants to bring the Republican Party back to its original values, you know, of sovereignty, non-intervention, you know, that we don't police the world, that, you know, we get government out of our lives. And I believe a lot of people want that. You know, a lot of people, they get caught up in this left-right fraud. And all of a sudden they form an idea that, well, either they hate Republicans or they hate liberals, you know, depending on which side of the fence. I would more or less like to see politics be a little more what they call nonpartisan, but realizing that the left and the right are the same. Right now, as we see it, the left and right are the same, but Ron Paul seems to be outside of the box of that. He doesn't seem to be categorized in any of them so-called paradigms of the left and the right. And it says here, a CNN poll says Ron Paul has the best chance of beating Obama. You know, and it talks about, you know, a November 2010 prediction that only Ron Paul, amongst the roster of likely Republican candidates, had a realistic chance of beating Barack Obama in 2012, has been born out of what media are describing as a shock CNN poll that shows the Texas congressman leading the GOP rivals in a hypothetical run against Obama. You know, and the polls always favor Ron Paul. Whenever Ron Paul is in there, he always wins these polls. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a debate or an online poll or whatever. And that's because the people really want peace. They want government out of their lives, you know, and that's what Ron Paul talks about, you know, and his anti-war stance is something that I personally like. I like that a lot. You know, I'm totally against war. I don't think it serves the average person any kind of interest at all in being involved in these wars. And I've got a thing here about Ron Paul, his stance on Libya. You know, and he talks about how Obama takes orders from the UN. You know, and I am appalled at that. You know, I don't think our leaders should be taking any kind of orders from the UN or you know, it doesn't matter what the UN. The UN was created to produce a world government, and it is the acting world government right now. We are under a world government. And a lot of people don't realize that. That's what I'm saying. They keep us in the mainstream in an illusion of a world that doesn't exist. The world that actually resists is being run by these global elitists. They're internationalists. They don't give a crap about the U.S. And they're taking their marching orders from the U.N. Listen to this clip.
What are some of the unintentional consequences that may occur from our attack on Libya? Just a couple days ago, I was complaining about the president not coming to the Congress to get the proper authority to wage war. Because imposing a no-fly zone over a country is an act of war. Instead, he was quite content to get his authority from the United Nations. I find that just a bit annoying, and I hope all Americans would find it the same way. But, you know, to me it's sort of ironic as well, and I don't believe it was coincidental, that this attack occurred on the anniversary of our attack 8 years ago against Iraq. And, of course, then it was shock and awe, and it would be over in a week or two, and, of course, the military success was there, but it still lingers. There still is not a settlement in Iraq. So how long might this last in Libya? This could go on for a long, long time. You know, it was said that the United Arab League condoned and encouraged the United States and the other countries to impose this no-fly zone. But yet today, the United Arab League has just called an emergency meeting because it wasn't exactly what they expected. They didn't expect civilians to be killed, and they are upset about it now and actually are about to withdraw their support and are very annoyed on how this turned out. And this is just within hours. I find it utterly amazing to see that the United States, with this modern, wonderful technology, can take off three B-2 bombers from the United States, fly over to a country like Libya, drop 40 bombs, and then fly all the way back. I just wish the ability to perform technologically could be translated into some wise diplomacy at times. It just seems like we concentrate on the militarism and not on the diplomacy. 112 Tomahawk missiles landed on that country. Civilians have been killed. And this will not endear ourselves to the Arab world. There is no way. Even though the British and the French are involved, we will still be blamed and we will be paying most of the bills. But there's a bit of irony here also, because at the same time we're there for our so-called humanitarian reasons, there are other crises going on. You know, our close allies, the Sharia-run government of Saudi Arabia, they're using force to suppress, this dissent in Bahrain. They've literally sent troops into Bahrain. And yet it's the same principle. The people are annoyed with their government, so we would support one illegitimate regime or, you know, ruthless regime. At the same time, we decide the other person has to go. There's no way we can defend Gaddafi as a great leader. But it's also interesting to note that our Secretary of State has decided to put a lot of blame and a lot of concern on the Iranians, which I find awfully interesting, because it just may be that that is the bigger issue, and what is going on in Bahrain might even be a more important issue than the grand bombing and attack on Libya. Sometimes I think they do things to distract us from what is really going on. So to me, this is just the beginning. It's very costly. It's going to cost us diplomatically. It's going to cost us financially. And it may well not go away quickly.
And the bottom line is, you know, I believe this is a distraction from other issues. They always do this. Every time they're doing something shady, something in the interest of the New World Order, something in the interest of bringing in world government, they have the media just obsessed on something. It doesn't matter what it is. And the bottom line is they're killing innocent civilians over there, or citizens is what I like to call them, but in military terms they call them civilians. You know, and it has nothing to do with diplomacy. You know, there's no decency involved in any of this. There will be blowback. You know, this will harm us in the end, and it's going to create a lot of bills. And the thing is, we have the Federal Reserve just printing money for these wars. We're borrowing from China. China's starting to pull out of the dollar, which is decreasing its value. It's just incredible what's going on that they're doing to destroy this country. But our media isn't telling us this. Our media is controlled by the globalists. And most of these talking heads on the media, they're just reading prompters. You know what I mean? They're not real journalists anymore. You know, Dan Rather, as controlled as he was, he still, I think he believed on a level that he was a real journalist. You know, back in the day, he was doing a story on heroin, and he went to a Houston police department and got shot up with heroin in the police department so that he could write a story on it. And I believe that people like him were taking out of the mainstream media because they weren't going to go along. They started getting hip with this. And it's like, no, you know what I mean? This is propaganda. This is propaganda. And they, so they brought in the people that will just go along and say, yeah, this is the real world. You know, we have real sources here. And usually these sources are coming in from the FBI, CIA, security, you know, all these intelligence agencies, these think tanks, lawyers, you know, all these people that I don't even think that they actually know what they're doing. They're just caught up in this brainwashing thing through higher education and everything else, and they think this is legitimate. This is the way to go. I'm an intelligent person, and they feed off the ego of these people. And they say, well, you know, you're an intelligent person, you know, and if you take your information from this source, you know, that just proves that you're an intelligent person for doing that. And that's how they run things, you know. And Ron Paul, I think, is our best bet at this point to try to change anything that we can, you know. And there's only been a handful of congressmen in Washington fighting for the United States and sovereignty and exposing this New World Order agenda. And Ron Paul happens to be one of them. And I've got a clip of him on foreign policy and how he talks about how it's destabilizing the world, you know, and how we go in for so-called humanitarian reasons, but that's just the front for the real reasons of why we get in there.
When we go in for humanitarian reasons, supposedly, usually we're going in for other reasons. For instance, what we don't know this time is who the opposition really is. There's pretty good evidence now coming out that there's probably some military people involved. Obviously, they have some weapons. That is the dissenters. So it might be an old-fashioned military coup that they've been able to capture some popular support for, and you might be getting rid of one dictator and bringing in another one, for all we know. I mean, the intent is good. I mean, it's everybody feels good about it and wants to help. But just like going into Iraq, you know, it was going to be a couple weeks, and we were going to rid that country of Saddam Hussein, and the oil would pay all the bills. And look at the tragedy that came out of that. And that's far from settled over there. We've been in Afghanistan 10 years. So what are we going to do? When are we the troops going to go in? Most good military people say you cannot resolve that problem in Libya without ground troops. Otherwise, all it does is solidify the people against the people who are dropping bombs on them. So I don't expect a whole lot of good to come from this. It should be settled internally. If the Arab League wants to get involved, they should be. They first encouraged us to do this in the UN, and then they changed their mind. They had an emergency meeting yesterday, and they said, hey, we didn't expect you to do all this bombing. We thought you'd just make sure those airplanes weren't flying. So they're very upset with it, and they've essentially withdrew support for this whole program.
Beyond those who say there's a moral reason to go, and there, some also point to, well, look, you know, a huge number of refugees leaving the country is going to destabilize Egypt, is going to destabilize Tunisia. So there is some sort of a strategic interest in order to try to stop that. You don't buy it.
No, I mean, there may be, but I still don't think that puts the obligation on us. I think our policies, our foreign policies, are destabilizing the world financial community, and it's going to destabilize this country because we spend $1 trillion a year on our foreign policy to keep it going, and we're totally bankrupt, and here we're taking another project on, probably spend another $200 million dropping bombs on Libya. So we're destabilizing the world, and if you think we're in there now to prevent this destabilization, I think the opposite is occurring. I think for us to be now involved in another Muslim country doesn't sit well with most of the Muslims of the world.
Now, that's what I'm saying. That war is going to be increased now, especially with this bin Laden propaganda. You know, these wars against terrorism and stuff are going to expand. And it's very unfortunate, but that's what it is. You know, and I talked about that last time on the show, of how this whole bin Laden thing is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. This come out of the LA Times, May 11th, 2011. Bin Laden's death, now part of Obama's re-election message. You know, and we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming, okay? Bush got re-elected on a second term for going after and killing Saddam Hussein. And I talked about on the show how they were showing, well, Saddam Hussein came out of this hole. They found him hiding in a hole in the ground. And they showed this video footage of him coming out of the hole in the ground. But the natives of that area said that couldn't be possible because the date that they said it happened, if you look in the background, there was figs growing on the bushes. And there was no way that there would be figs growing on them bushes at the time that they said that happened. You know, so, you know, they're not very smart. They're not very smart. They send out these videos and these pictures, and, you know, they sent out this picture of bin Laden, and immediately the alternative media shot that down and started showing the original pictures and showing how that was photoshopped. You know, and I talked about on the last show how this birth certificate comes out, and it's been photoshopped. You know, the typing font is not correct on it, and it's definitely an altered piece of material, okay? But the mainstream media ignores that. Oh, there's nothing to see there. Bin Laden, we've killed Bin Laden. You know, blah, blah, blah. Now we need to increase security because there's going to be blowback. Oh, yeah, Al-Qaeda's really going to get us now. You know what I'm saying? And they run this fear campaign. And just like Bush was reelected on, you know, he got Saddam Hussein. He brought Saddam Hussein down. Obama's going to use this bin Laden fantasy as part of his reelection. He was the man who brought down bin Laden. You know, and the American people are going to go for it because most of the American people are under this mind control agenda. They're brainwashed. They're living in a fantasy world. You know, it's called, it's a hypnotic trance, basically. You know, because they believe that the mainstream media is legitimate and because they're so exposed to movies, and I'm talking about myself, too, you know, it takes a lot to break out of that matrix, so to speak. And that's really what it is. You either take the red pill or you take the blue pill. Either go back to sleep and pretend everything's fine, everything's legitimate, everything's secure. I don't want to have to worry about that. Because that's what it is, a security issue. You know, when you start questioning your own reality, you start realizing that things aren't the way that we've been led to believe our whole lives. And so we have to say, oh my God, you know, life isn't what it is, you know. And even as awful as the world is in that reality, people want to hold on to that reality because otherwise they don't know what to do. They feel insecure. They want to believe that there's people out there taking care of the problems of the world and everything's going to be okay. And they don't have to get involved. All they have to do is go to their work, watch movies, play video games, you know, do their tennis, whatever. You know, live their lives whatever way they want. And they don't have to worry about that. And they believe everything that happens in the media, on the TV, and everything that they read in the newspapers, they believe is legitimate. And it's just totally incredible. I want to go over this real quick. And this came out of prisonplanet.com. And it says here, 10 facts that prove that Bin Laden fable is a contrived hoax. Number one, before last Sunday's raid, every intelligence analyst, geopolitical commentator, or head of state worth their salt was on record as stating that Osama bin Laden was already dead and that he probably died many years ago. From veteran CIA officer Robert Barr to former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto to former FBI head of counterterrorism Dale Watson. In addition, back in 2002, Alex Jones was told directly by two separate high-level sources that bin Laden was already dead and that his death would be announced at the most politically opportune moment. Top U.S. government insider Dr. Steve Pieznik, a man who held numerous different influential positions under five different presidents, serving as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under the Nixon, Ford, and Carter administrations, told the Alex Jones Show last week that bin Laden died of Marfan syndrome shortly after he was visited by CIA physicians at an American hospital in Dubai in July 2001. And that is true. You know, and that was the thing. Why were CIA physicians in an American hospital in Dubai in July of 2001? You know, he was already supposed to be wanted at that point for other crimes. So, you know, why was he being protected by the CIA and why was he receiving any kind of medical care in an American hospital in Dubai? You know, that was a question that a lot of people were asking. I've talked about it on the show before. Number two, an original official narrative of how the raid unfolded completely collapsed within days of its announcement. First, there had been a 40-minute shootout. Then there was no shootout. And then just one man was armed. First, bin Laden was armed, but then he was not. First, bin Laden used his wife as a human shield, and then he did not. First, the compound was described as a $1 million mansion, and then it turned out to be a rubbish-strewn, depolitated compound that was worth less than a quarter of that. Every single aspect of the official narrative has changed since Obama first described the raid last Sunday as White House struggles to keep its story straight. Number three, the alleged body of bin Laden was hastily dumped into the sea to prevent any proper procedure of identification. The White House claimed that this was in accordance with normal Islamic burial rituals. However, numerous Muslim scholars all over the globe disputed this claim, pointing out that Muslims can only be buried at sea if they die at sea. While the White House claimed that bin Laden's death on May 1st was proven by DNA and facial recognition evidence, such proof has never been released for public scrutiny, and the Obama administration refused to release photos of bin Laden's dead body, suggesting a cover-up. You know. Four, despite the fact that military released Situation Room photos purported to show Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and the rest of Obama's security staff watching the raid, which killed bin Laden live, it was later admitted by CIA Director Leon Panetta that Obama could not have seen the raid because the live feeds was cut off before the Navy SEALs entered the compound. The photos were described by many as having historical significance, forming a captivating record of Obama's greatest success and being the defining moment of his presidency. One image showed Hillary Clinton and her hand over her mouth as if witnessing an anxious or crucial moment in the raid. Media reports at the time claimed that these photos represented the moment when the leader of the free world saw the terror chief shot in the left eye. However, the photos were staged as a PR stunt for public consumption. Nobody in the photos ever saw bin Laden killed live, nor did they see the Navy SEALs enter the compound. See what I'm saying? This is all done for dramatic effect. These are actors. You know, they're taking PR photo shots. Oh, my God. You know, like they're watching live. They want you to believe something that isn't true. You know, and that's what the media does. That's a kind of propaganda that they're involved in. Number five, as even mainstream journalists began to cast suspicion on the official narrative behind the raid, the media reported that Al-Qaeda itself had confirmed every detail of Obama's address to the nation. However, the conduit for such a claim was the fact of an organization called SITE, which is a notorious Pentagon propaganda front run by the daughter of an Israeli spy that has been caught on numerous occasions releasing fake cartoonish Al-Qaeda videos at the most politically expedient times for both the Bush and Obama administrations. The SITE organization is nothing more than a contractor for the U.S. government, receiving some $500,000 a year annually from Uncle Sam, yet the corporate media instantly swallowed and regurgitated the claim that Al-Qaeda had confirmed the official story after SITE directed them to an anonymous posting on an Islamic website. See, we're talking about total fraud here, but like I said, the average person sees it. And, you know, you can find these articles that I'm talking about right at twitter.com/Harry Thomas. You know, and you might have to refresh the pages because Twitter likes to censor my material a lot of times. I've directed people there and they're like, oh, I can't find it. It's there if you try hard enough. And I would actually subscribe to the channel and follow the channel to get updates. That would guarantee it. Also, you can find this podcast at harrythomas.podomatic.com. Please share it with everybody. You know, we're on number 6 here. Almost every single neighbor that lived near the alleged bin Laden compound in Abbottabad was interviewed by news reporters, said that absolutely certainly that they had never seen bin Laden, that they knew no evidence whatsoever to suggest he lived there. Since the town is a staging ground for the Pakistani military, which has a training facility situated virtually a stone's throw away from the alleged bin Laden compound, residents were required to show ID when they moved in the area. Pakistani troops and anti-terror police in the town refused to confirm that bin Laden had lived in the house. Barack Obama himself admitted to 60 Minutes that the White House was only 55% to 45% sure that Osama lived there before the raid, and this uncertainty prompted concerns that the U.S. Navy SEAL sent in could have targeted a prince from Dubai or some other individual that was not bin Laden. The videos, number 7, the videos released by White House this past weekend, which purport to show Osama bin Laden making Al-Qaeda tapes in October-November 2010, are almost identical to footage first released by Pentagon Front Group SITE nearly 4 years ago. Remember, a May 2010 Washington Post story reported how the CIA had admitted to making fake bin Laden videos. Despite the White House insistence that the footage of bin Laden is recent, he looks younger and healthier than tapes released almost a decade ago. Having apparently dyed his beard black, a separate video that purports to show bin Laden in his compound flicking through satellite TV channels depicts a much older man with a gray beard. Analysts have pointed out that the man has different shaped ears to real Osama pictures back from 2001. A doctor has also pointed out the fact that the man in the tapes released had no problem moving his left arm, whereas video from 2001 clearly illustrates how bin Laden was unable to move his left arm upper extremities because of a permanent injury probably related to damage to his peripheral nerves. Why the cameraman would film the back of bin Laden's head as he watches television is also dubious. Residents in the town of Abbottabad claim that the man in the television video is not Osama, with one individual claiming that the man labeled by the White House as being bin Laden is actually his neighbor, a man named Akar Han. So right there in the neighborhood, they're saying that's Akar Han, or Akbar Hand. That's not Osama bin Laden. You know, the whole thing is a staged event. It's a fairy tale. It's a total fairy tale. And not only that, these videos that were released, I covered it on the show before. Obama is writing with his right hand when he's left-handed. He has a watch on, which is forbidden by Muslim law to be wearing jewelry like that. You know, it's just utterly ridiculous. You know, just like 9/11, they said, oh, well, these Muslim religious extremists, you know, flew these suicide missions, and the night before they were in strip bars drinking, carrying on, and having, you know, unadulterated sex and all this, which is totally against Muslim law. If they were really devout, religious Muslims, they wouldn't be participating in that kind of activity, and they wouldn't be, like, losing their passports and leaving this evidence, so-called evidence behind. That's what I'm saying. Everything that they tell us is a lie. It's a complete, utter lie. We're on number 8. despite the fact that numerous neocons came out of the came out on the days after the alleged raid to erroneously assert that torturing terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay led to the discovery of bin Laden. Osama himself, the supposed world's most wanted terrorist and a treasure trove of terror information. Despite the fact that he was unarmed and not taking in for questioning, he was instantly shot in the head, according to official narrative. So here it is, you know, they're just producing, you know, assassinations in international territory. You know, the Pakistani government recently just said, wait a minute here, we want to know why this clandestine black operation was happening in our country when we didn't know about it. And you know why they didn't know about it? Because it wasn't happening. It was a fairy tale. They went in and they filmed a neighbor in that region, you know, a so-called, you know, resident, and that's it, you know. And they just staged this whole event because they want Obama to come in and close the deal for the New World Order. He's the closer, you know. He's the one that you can't criticize. He's untouchable. He's the man that brought down bin Laden, and that's what they're going to use. Number 9, the U.S. government has been caught on several occasions in the past decade staging military operations for purposes of generating contrived pro-war sentiment amongst the American public. Both the rescue of Jessica Lynch and the death of Pat Tillman were complete fables, scripted and staged at complete odds with the truth and unleashed on Americans as part of psychological warfare offensive to elicit support for the war on terror. Almost identical to what we're seeing now with the bin Laden sideshow. Given the fact that the U.S. government has been caught red-handed scripting tales of pure fiction in order to justify the war on terror, notably in the cases of Jessica Lynch and Pat Tillman, why on earth would we believe them now? I mean, really. I mean, they have a history of staging this stuff. This is all contrived. I mean, this goes back to them saying, oh, well, we were shot on, and it never even happened. And then we go into these wars like Vietnam and stuff. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, and then they come out and say, well, it didn't really happen. We made it all up. The press just come out with the story that you know, one of our military boats were shot on. Okay? Now we're at war. And then afterwards, they find out the whole thing was a contrived story. It was just a setup to get the American people to say, go to war, but then we're already in war. And we can't leave for some reason. Every time we get in a war, we just can't leave. You know, no matter what. Even if the reasons were, well, we're going to war for weapons of mass destruction. Well, they didn't have them. Okay, but we're still there. We're already there, man. They got to keep them presses running. You know, the printing presses at the Federal Reserve. You know, they got to keep funding that military-industrial complex. Oh, my God. It's sickening, you know. Number 10, despite the fact that Obama announced last Sunday on live television that the world was now safer because bin Laden was dead, his administration, with the aid of fear-mongering mass media, instantly seized upon the situation to terrify Americans into being afraid of imminent reprisal terror attacks against the United States, later claiming that bin Laden had formulated an aspirational rather than an operational plan to derail U.S. trains that traveled over 500 miles per hour, although no trains in the U.S. can actually travel at such speeds. This led to terror experts to salivate over how TSA agents are now needed in shopping malls to stick their hands down Americans' pants. While New York Senator Chuckie Schumer, which is a New World Order minion, I'm going to tell you a story about him in a second, called for a no-fly list to be expanded to trains and subways, Obama hurried to Ground Zero for a photo op. He desperately tried to use bin Laden hoax to whip up phony patriotism as a means of boosting his flagging poll numbers. Others, like Democrat Bill Richardson, exploited the situation to try and push through policies that have no connection to bin Laden or terrorism at all, like cap and trade. This haste with the whole bin Laden fable was exploited for political points, scoring, and a psychological ploy to return Americans to a post-9/11 state of intellectual castration was painfully transparent, clearly suggesting that the entire farce was planned well in advance to achieve precisely those goals in a run up to 2012. This is a political, psychological operation here. Now, Senator Chuckie Schumer, is a total New World Order minion. And I've talked about him several times on the show, and I was actually at the New York State Fair one year, and little Chucky Schumer was walking down the, like, the Midway area. And, you know, the New York State Fair is huge. It's one of the largest fairs in the world. And he's walking down, and we're hanging out. I think we were waiting to listen to Warren Haynes. And Warren Haynes was playing a free acoustic set at one of the taverns there that they have. And we're standing there outside, and I see Chucky Schumer, and so I start yelling. And people were booing him, you know. And I started yelling, "Chucky, what are you going to do about the New World Order? Chuck, what about the New World Order? Are you going to stand up against them?" And next thing you know, he whispers to his cohorts, his entourage there, and they turn around and they start heading the other way. It was great. It was like watching him stick his tail up between his legs and he took off, you know? And I also seen Chuck Schumer come out and announce a band. They have bands there. It's concerts, you know, it's a big whole thing. And he comes out to announce it, and as soon as they announce them, the crowd is booing them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, wait a minute here. People do, you know, there's most people, a lot of people aren't believing in this. They're not believing in this fraud. You know, they know that the TV is a bunch of crap. They know that they're being lied to. You know what I'm saying? I think the people are ready. The people are ready to stand up against tyranny, you know? Because it was incredible. I loved it. He comes out and they're just booing him. Boo! You know? It's just incredible here. It's incredible. Before I get into some of this radiation stuff that's happening in Japan, I just want to cover this news that came out. This come out of naturalnews.com, great alternative website, you know, along with another one besides prisonplanet.com is blacklistednews.com. Very good alternative news sites, and you can actually really see what's going on. Documented facts, very professional style reporting, real journalism going on, real reporting of the facts of real issues that are going on. And you'll see a lot of these stuff posted over at the 12160 social network. You'll see them on my Twitter site. You know, do a search for the Harry Thomas Show. Get this kind of information. This stuff that I'm doing here with the show is alternative media. You're not hearing commercials. We're commercial free here. You know, and I talk about we. It's really me doing it. But, you know, it's we that are standing up against the New World Order because you're part of this too. So that's why I talk about the we. I talk about, you know, we're sharing this information. Get this information out. Post it on torrents. Send out the MP3. You know, share the page, let people know what's going on, let them get a chance to listen to some alternative media, some different kind of sources, something different that isn't controlled by FCC rules, corporate sponsors. You know, I'm owned by nobody. I'm an independent person, a researcher. I've been doing this talk show for several years, and you know what I'm saying? You're going to hear stuff here that you're not going to hear when you turn on the radio. You know what I mean? And this one come out of Natural News. Mobile phones soon required to receive and display White House propaganda messages. Okay? If you're tired of all the half-truths, the propaganda, and the complete disinformation that has been spewing from the White House for at least the last 12 years, you can always turn off your television, switch off the radio, or just like anybody else, stop reading printed newspapers. But the U.S. government has decided it must reach you with its official propaganda one way or another. So now it is mandating that all mobile phones sold in the United States automatically receive and display terror messages from the White House. Verizon and AT&T have already signed on to this scheme, and starting in 2012, all mobile phones will be required to have this capability. This feature will continue as long as the U.S. federal government continues to exist. Can you imagine what Bush would have done with this technology? Interesting, you can't turn off the White House alerts, meaning that you'll be forced to read whatever current disinfo is being passed off as some kind of alert. Watch out, Bin Laden is in your refrigerator. No, wait, he's stealing your light bulbs. Or as former President George Bush was fond of saying, today's terror color is orange. Get ready for a barrage of utterly fabricated, socially engineered propaganda to be pushed to the population via their mobile phones. This is George Orwell's Ministry of Truth in full operation mode. clued right into the people's fingertips. If you're going to control the sheeple, after all, you have to have a way to get your disinfo into their heads. And the mobile phone push technology is about as good as it gets. The FCC also says that the system can push Amber Alerts and any other information the government wants to put in front of your face. So the day that the dollar is crashing, you'll all be sent a message, everything is fine. The banks are merely on a short holiday. Do not be concerned. Or I suppose the next time a nuclear power plant goes Chernobyl in the USA, there's a radioactive fallout threatening America, the White House can send out an alert that says, do not prepare. There's nothing to be concerned about. We have it all under control. I mean, it is just incredible what is happening here. You know, this Big Brother push, this takeover of our way of life. You know, this come out of Prison Planet. What else will the government's special chip in your cell phone do? Short of implanting a microchip in people's heads, the U.S. government has opted for the next best thing, a chip in your cell phone. But what else will these special chips be used for? Cell phone users will not be able to opt out of the presidential messages, with Verizon and AT&T, the nation's largest cell phone carriers, already on board. That's what I'm saying. These corporate, they're already owned by it. I mean, these corporations, it's all owned by the global elite. And this is where the media and stuff get their information. And people think it's legit. So as long as you think it's legit, you're part of the problem. Cell phone providers have already had the capability to send out text messages to all their subscribers instantly. So why do the government needs a special chip to be installed will only heighten suspicions that this is a Trojan horse for an omnipresent wiretap that will feed every scintilla of information from your phone directly to Big Brother. This seems very suspicious. Why can people not opt out of the presidential messages? Asked another. They pay for their phones. They should dictate what it does, not Obama. Would the special chips also empower Obama to shut down all cell phone traffic on a whim in time of a declared national emergency? Obama already has the power to override all radio and television networks under the expanded emergency alert system, which allows FEMA to break in on live broadcasts to send out alerts. And that was part of the reason why they went digital. You know, everything went digital because, you know, otherwise, you know, the FEMA in continuity of government situation takes over the airways. There's no, like, you know, back in the day, if you wanted to get a message out, you would take over the local station and say to the people the truth. No, this is what's going on. Don't listen to this propaganda. You know, this is the real truth. You can't do that anymore. You don't even have the opportunity. It's all digitalized. Boom, they just shut the thing right off. You know, the Obama administration also pushing cybersecurity legislation that would hand Obama a figurative kill switch for the internet. The term kill switch is an oversimplification. What the actual agenda revolves around is the ability to impose a Chinese-style censorship over the World Wide Web and develop an ID system that would force users to have their access controlled by a state-run licensing procedure. The government-mandated chips that would also achieve the Department of Transportation's aim of blocking all cell phone use in cars. This chip would allow authorities to prevent the use of the phone by measuring the speed you are traveling via GPS technology and shutting down the handset. You know, and in the this GPS, you know, everybody's house and stuff have been GPS'd by the sensor, not the sensor department, but the census. And I'll tell you what, they got me. I don't know what they were doing, hiding in the, you know, I didn't answer my door a couple times, and darn it, if I didn't open up my door and there's the sensor guy, I went to put something out in the trash, and he's like, hey, I got you. And the thing is, it was somebody I knew. It was somebody I knew. Somebody that knew my mother and knew me. It was incredible, you know. The plan to harass cell phone users with specious terror alerts is part of a larger agenda, the fear-based social conditioning by the government. As we have exhausted documented, the move has nothing whatsoever to do with keeping Americans safe from terrorism. More Americans are killed every year by bumblebees and peanut allergies than they are by terrorists. You know, this is pure propaganda, and what this does is just give them opportunities to cut off our communications. See, we're using technology against them, and they don't like it. They don't like it at all when we do that. I mean, this is crazy. Crazy Big Brother takeover. You know, people should be appalled by this, you know? And the media will just report it like, okay, move on. See this? Nothing to see here. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. You know, instead of reporting on it like, hey, you need to be concerned. You should stand up against this. This is a violation of our privacy. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we have constitutional laws, you know, that should protect us from this kind of invasion. It's just incredible. Incredible. All right, I want to talk about this. I know I go on a long time here, but this is something that I wanted to cover, and I haven't been able to get around to it. I've been very busy. I got a lot of health problems and stuff, not to make excuses for it, but some of this is dates back. And I'm going to go through the dates, and this is what I've been collecting, some of the news on this radiation that's coming out of Japan. This was published on March 21st, 2011. Japanese government admits potassium iodide pills should have been distributed earlier. It says that, potassium iodide pills reduces the chance of thyroid cancer to those living within 12 miles of a nuclear complex. And I live more than that. I think it should be more than 12 miles. I think at least 50 miles. If you live within 50 miles of a nuclear reactor, you should have a supply of potassium iodide. You know, I have it. I have it, and I'm glad I have it. You know, I have a survival pack. I'm ready for to turn clean water, dirty water into clean water. You know, I have a Berkey sport water thing. I can take mud, whatever, and run it through and make it drinkable. I have purification tablets for water, take water sources, you know, different ways to have food, even, and you know, and knowledge to go out into the woods myself and be able to survive. You know, and everybody needs that kind of stuff. You know, I'm ready to grab the backpack and go. If I have to, you know what I'm saying? I have enough stuff in my house to, if something happens and the store shut down and the whole system shut down, I'm going to be able to survive. You know, and I'm going to be able to protect myself from others who aren't prepared. And I'm just saying that's something that everybody should be concerned about. Everybody should take into consideration. This article says when it comes to taking intelligent action following this nuclear catastrophe, which already ranks as the second worst nuclear accident in the history of human civilization, our governments all earn an F grade because they failed to warn the citizens to take precautionary steps, and in doing so, they are setting in motion a sequence of events that will get people killed. Thousands of future cases of cancers may be attributable to the radiation already emitted from Fukushima. And that's true. You know, and this is another one that come out of prisonplanet.com. U.S. health authorities urge Americans not to take potassium iodide. After it was confirmed that traces of radioactivity has reached Colorado, Dr. Chris Urbina, chief medical officer and executive director of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, said in a statement today, there's no need for people to seek potassium iodide, before going on a list of numerous side effects as a way of actively discouraging Americans from taking the drug. What do you mean there's no need to seek it? See, you know, when something like this happened, you couldn't even get potassium iodide. And luckily, I already had it, so it wasn't a concern for me, but that's when people, you know, move into action when they're already faced, when it's already too late. What I'm saying is get the stuff now. Get it while you can. Urbina's statement is baffling because it leaves Americans open to developing thyroid cancer should levels of radiation be emitted from Fukushima worsen. Or what if it happens here? We've got lots of nuclear power plants around here. There's one near me right in Oswego County, and that's like a half an hour drive away, 45 minutes away. And you know what I'm saying? This come out March 24th, and again, Fukushima radiation spreading to more U.S. states. Radiation from ongoing disaster in Japan is spreading throughout the United States, while the EPA says the levels are not dangerous. It also admits that some of the radiation tracking air monitors may not even be working. The EPA announced late yesterday small amounts of iodine-131, a radioactive form of iodine, has been detected by monitors in Grand Junction, Denver, and Colorado Springs. in Colorado. Iodine 131 was also picked up yesterday by monitors in Portland, Oregon. Hawaii, California, and Washington State previously reported finding trace amounts of radioactive iodine, cesium, and tellurium. Three air monitors in California at San Francisco, Riverside, and Anaheim, as well as one monitor in Seattle, has identified the isotopes and other radioactive particles. This one come out March 24th. Radioactive fallout from Fukushima approaching same levels as Chernobyl. This was out of Natural News by Mike Adams. Radiation spreading across the ocean and continents. Fukushima quickly rising to the top of the list of the world's worst nuclear disasters. And then, you know, this is worse than Chernobyl. This is worse than Chernobyl. Says here on March 25th, 2011, an article by Paul Joseph Watson at PrisonPlanet.com. Japanese authorities admit deadly MOX plutonium reactor is leaking. While the mass media has all but dropped its interest in the Fukushima crisis to focus on Libya and the meaningless side issues like the death of Elizabeth Taylor, the nuclear nightmare only worsens. As Japan authorities admit that reactor number 3, which is the only reactor to contain MOX plutonium, is now leaking. The water now leaking from reactor number 3 has radiation levels 10,000 times above the level of normal reactor water. Yesterday, two Fukushima technicians received instant radioactive burns when they stepped in a puddle of water, and it burned right through their boots. Reactor number 3 runs on MOX, or mixed oxidine fuel, a mixture of plutonium and uranium. Plutonium is the deadly, most deadly radioactive isotope known to man, and MOX is 2 million times more deadly than normal enriched uranium. The half-life of plutonium-239 in MOX is 24,000 years. With just a few milligrams of P-239 escaping in a smoke plume, will contaminate soil for tens of thousands of years. According to a new study by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, nearly 25 years after the accident of Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine, exposure to radioactive iodine-131, a radioactive isotope, from fallout may be responsible for thyroid cancers that are still occurring among people who lived in the Chernobyl area and were children or adolescents at the time of the accident. Now, that's what's important about this potassium iodide. You know, this potassium iodide, what it does is it sends this safer form of iodide than this other that it comes from the radiation. And so it once it fills up your vital organs with it, it kind of fools the bad stuff into bypassing your organs because it thinks you're already full of it. But you're actually full of a less harmful mix of it. You know, it's definitely not good for you. You just don't go around taking this stuff, but it's a lot better than the deadly stuff that causes death. You know, despite UN and World Health Organization studies that claim Chernobyl led to the maximum of 9,000 deaths and 200,000 cases of radiation sickness, more contemporary studies have shown that nearly a million people have been killed from cancers caused by the disaster in the course of the past 25 years. So this stuff is a lot more dangerous, you know, and they're not really talking about it. This I found very interesting, and this come out March 29, 2011. Renowned Pakistani columnist accuses U.S. of artificially causing Japan earthquake. The U.S. has carried out a second nuclear attack on Japan. In a recent article, renowned Pakistani columnist Nirsat Mirza accused the U.S. of artificially causing the March 11, 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, calling the radiation leaks resulting from the damage to nuclear plants the U.S. second nuclear attack on the Japanese nation. He argued that the March earthquake was artificially caused by U.S. X-37B space plane just 6 days after it was launched. Whenever the U.S. space plane X-37B is sent into space, a natural disaster occurs somewhere in the world. Whenever the U.S. space plane is sent into space, a natural disaster occurs somewhere in the world. Last year, on April 22nd, the shuttle was launched into space to spy on the Persian Gulf, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Korean waters, and if needed, to attack anywhere. Also, this space plane can make use of HAARP technology out of Alaska, and natural disasters can be artificially brought about. Although the planes launched into space, Pakistan was hit by an unusual monsoon on July 26, 2010, which brought extraordinary destruction. During that monsoon, Pakistan suffered a loss of $43 billion. 2,000 people died, and about one-fifth of the country was submerged in floods. However, it was fortunate that the country's nuclear weapons program remained safe during that disaster and had also been safe during the 2005 earthquake by Allah's grace. Although the earthquake struck the country's mountainous region in Pakistani Kashmir, some people say that it was an artificial one and that HAARP technology was used to cause the earthquake. According to some people, the powers believe that Pakistani nuclear assets were in this mountainous region. It says here that the world will have to decide whether Pakistani's 2005 earthquake and 2010 floods, Indonesian tsunami, and now Japan's tsunami in March 2011 was natural or artificial disasters. Today, rulers are coming to the forefront using science, are causing earthquakes, tsunamis, weather alterations, change in airplane routes, plane crashes, and floods. Every invention of the U.S. needs to be patented, and in doing so, the invention's functioning must be defined. The HAARP's patent number is 4,686,605. The critics of the HAARP has named its burning flame gun. According to this patent, the technology is a tool that can introduce changes in the weather anywhere in the world and can stop or change routes of missiles and can interfere in satellite system of a party or impose its own system on that party. It can take over satellites. It can change the weather. Why in 1970 did Brzezinski say that they had moved the gravity of power in the U.S., that it would not let it shift to Eurasia? He had also said that due to the U.S. technological advancement, a society would emerge that would remain under control and would follow instructions, and that society or people on the surface of the world would live by the orders of those who would have knowledge of science. You know what I mean? And I talked about this last week on the show when I was talking about chemtrails, you know, and yesterday I watched them, today I watch them, every day I watch them. And I pointed out when I came to people, see that? All these clouds are artificial. And they're like, really? Wow. And we seen yesterday, and I caught somebody right at the right time. There was like four or five planes doing these crosses. And I'm like, watch it. See it expand? See all this cloud cover there? That was a plane that came by. See how you can still see the line stretched out? And I showed them, this is an artificial sky. This is weather modification. You know, and not only, you know, I talked about how they control the weather, they control our moods, they also can control economies that way. You know, the weather is a very destructive force. They can use that to control economies. You know, Fukushima dumping of radioactive water in the Pacific Ocean violates international law. The mass dumping of highly radioactive water, measured at 7.5 million times the normal allotted levels, into the Pacific Ocean is not just an environmental disaster, it's a violation of international law. The Convention on the Prevention of Marine Pollution by Dumping Waste and Other Matter, passed in 1972, forbids nations and companies from dumping toxic wastes into the ocean. America and the EU agree, raise radiation levels for food. So now they know that all this radiation's coming, and these high levels of radiation, all of a sudden now they have to raise the allowed radiation levels in food. You know, and the food is the most deadliest way to consume this radiation. And this come out May 10th, 2011, deadly silence on Fukushima. I received the following email a few days ago from Russian nuclear physicist, a friend who is an expert on the kinds of gases being released at Fukushima. Here's what he wrote. About Japan, the problem is that the reactor uses dirty fuel. It's a combination of plutonium and uranium. I suspect that the old fuel rods have been spread out due to the explosion, and the surrounding area is contaminated with plutonium, which means you can never return to this place again. It's like New Chernobyl. Personally, I am not surprised that the authority has not informed the people about this. Says here, scientists who have not already been paid by the nuclear power industry is the only way that you can get actual information on what's going on, is by these scientists that are not paid by the nuclear power industry. Oh, it's just incredible the amount of corruption, the amount of deceit that's being put out forth on the world. We have to help wake up our friends and our neighbors. You know, we have to do something about this. You know, check out the website, harrythomas.podomatic.com. I've got a lot of information that can be shared over at the YouTube channel, Harry Thomas Info. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/HarryThomas. You can also find me over at the 12160 Network. We have to do something about this, you know, because together we will make a difference. I want to thank you for listening, and I will be back again to expose some of this New World Order agenda.